A scripture is from Haggai 2, 1 through 9, the future glory of the temple. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I just needed to do that. She said all those words. I just couldn't help myself. Thank you, Angela. I saw her yesterday and she said, Did you pick that scripture? And I said, Nope. Nope, God did. Sorry. But I think she handled it magnificently. What do you? Oh. Could be why I've never preached out of Haggai in my entire life. That's not true. I kind of like it. My husband, I walk around and I read the scripture and he thinks I've become, I don't know, Middle Eastern or something. Because I really get into the, you know, Zerubbabel. You know, I get a little dramatic when I'm walking around the house reading the scripture. The cats are tired of it, but he gets a big giggle out of it. What a piece of scripture. And it's part of the lectionary. You guys know I'm a lectionary preacher because I find too often if I were to just preach what I wanted to preach, it might be, you know, just me and all about me. And it's not all about me. It's never all about me. So I like it when the lectionary throws some odd little thing like this. If you've got a red Bible in front of you, you want to pick it up, look at it. Haggai is like 15 minutes you can read it. Well, if you kind of go over the words like I do sometimes. I like Haggai. I didn't know I liked him as well as I did. Haggai is kind of he's the guy that's in charge. Well, I think he's the prophet. We could say it this way, that God is speaking to say, you know what? Here's what happened. Bad things happened. The temple got destroyed. It really was bad. But now it's time to get to work. It's time to get to work and build it back. And not just the building, but the community. Because you see, they had been exiled and they'd been scattered. They got scattered, man. A little bit like, did anybody feel a little scattered after, I'm going to say the word COVID. Everybody's tired of hearing it, but it's just a real thing we're living with. And you kind of got displaced. So he kind of, that's who he's talking to. People that got totally displaced. But then they got permission to come home. To come back. And so they did. I think that's fascinating. They didn't stay where they were. Now, some probably did. If they had a really good mother-in-law and a business, you know, they might have stayed. But I think many of them came back. And I find that fascinating. So they came back to where they felt at home. They felt community. So this has been, which I think is fascinating, 80 years later, though. When he says, do you remember how it was? Does anybody ever say that a little bit? I wish it could go back to the way it was. Why is it so hard? And we're so mean to each other. And I just want to go back to 1953. I don't. That's when the year I was born, so I don't remember a lot about it. But you know what I'm saying. We want to go back to what we think is a happier, better time. And that's what that's the crew he's talking to. Because best we can figure out, you want to hear this? He's looking for 80-year-olds to give this message to. Do you remember? And the guy's going, dude, I can't remember what I had for breakfast. I'm 80. But we do remember, don't we? And we hang on to the way it used to be. Nostalgia is a cool thing. It's a great thing. Traditions are a wonderful thing. I am a traditionalist a bit. I enjoy that. I love, there's going to be some new pictures in the gymnasium. Miss Elizabeth's got a bunch of really cool pictures. There's going to be some new ones brought back. I love looking at those pictures and trying to figure out who everybody is. I do. I'm a history freak, and I adore it. But I know I can't live there. And I know I cannot weigh my decisions and my life today on those things that I used previously. I can't. Somebody said to me this week, they said to me, I just wish our young people would learn to. And I hope you'd be proud of me, because I didn't say what I really wanted to say. Because many of you know me way too well of what it could have jumped out of this mouth. God and the Holy Spirit gave me words, and I said, do you know that our young people live in a world that we can't even imagine? Now, I did at one time hide under a desk because we thought the Russians were going to send the bomb. Who remembers that? See? Okay. But I never lived at a time when I had to consider my school being under attack. Or my party, if I were a particular person with a particular difference in my life and I was at a party or a restaurant or a gathering that might show the symbol of a rainbow. I've never... You know what I was? I was a rainbow girl. Come on. If you're a Masonic lodge, you know what a rainbow girl is. I was a rainbow girl. Uh-oh, some of you are cocking your heads over a little bit going, uh-oh, what's that all about? Google it, but know whose voice you're listening to. I always tell you, Google it, but you got to know whose voice you're listening to. I was part of an organization that had young ladies learn about love and religion and nature and immortality and fidelity and patriotism. Hey, I got them all. I can't even believe I did that. That's what that organization was about. Somehow the rainbow for me is always a beautiful thing. Always, 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 always. And I think God meant it to be that way. But I never felt threatened being a place I was just because of who I was. But our young people face that a lot. So we 80-year-olds, and in that, maybe not 80 yet, but in that 80-year-old mindset a bit, I'd ask for a lot of grace and a lot of mercy and a lot of mentorship and a lot of love. And that's the thing that I love about this piece of scripture. It made me think about so many things, about where it was and the context it was, because sometimes people want to take the Old Testament and jerk it right out of context and make it say what they want it to say. And that's not fair to God. It's really not. Haggai is trying to get people to build a temple, and he's pretty forthright. I had an instructor at school say, you know, you could be a little bit of a prophet, Marcia. Because I tend to tell people to get busy and get work and do that. You guys are so good, and you let me do it. And he said, but you know what they did to him? And I said, yeah, pretty much. In case for you don't know, they all usually ended up dead. Well, or hurt or something. But they had to speak what God told him to speak. So today I thought, here's what I'd like you to take away from here. I'd like you to take away from, we do need to get to work. We need to get to work loving a little harder and building our community a little better and welcoming the unwelcome. That's a hard one, right? somebody that doesn't look like us or smell like us or do the things we do, it's a little hard. It's a challenging thing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know that one? Who had to learn that in Sunday school? Come on. Don't lose it. Hang on to it. Because it's important. Because you can't do it without the love of Jesus Christ. That's the other thing sometimes I think in this world. We kind of think I can do what I want to do. I thought it was kind of fascinating. I'm going to jump back to the scripture a minute. Because that's where my brain works. In the first chapter, Haggai says to them, he's talking to them about their houses. Because you know what they did? They came back to town and they started building their houses. Now, they didn't just move in a little double wide to survive. No. They built houses with paneled home. And I thought, well, what in the world is a paneled home? Well, it meant that they went and they had the most expensive woods, cedar. The temples had walls of cedar. And that's what they did in their houses. You see, they took care of their own house first. They took care of themselves first. Eek! I don't know. I think Jesus goes, uh-uh. We're supposed to love God and love others and take care of them. That's just kind of what I've picked up from reading the book. And I know we can do it. And I know we do it. 60 beds for crying out loud. Is that the coolest thing to think that 60 little bodies will not be sleeping on the floor? Is that yummy? Turn to somebody and say, man, that's yummy. I want you to right now. That is so yummy. And you know why? You know, if you didn't get a chance to look at it on Facebook, I'd encourage you to look at it. Sleep in Heavenly Peace. They did a really cool video piece yesterday. And the place that they built was packed with people. And you know what? I knew a bunch of them, but they're not here today. A bunch of them are, but a bunch of them aren't. Because that's the other cool thing about being in love with God, is we reach across denominations. We reach across the street. We reach across the town and the globe to unite ourselves, to be the love of Jesus Christ in a hurting world. I think that's amazing. Now the world tries to kind of knock us off our props. People have lost jobs. Dear sweet people have lost jobs and benefits. So we love them, right? We figure this thing out. And we love them because that's the way God wants us to do this. That's the thing we need to get to work on. We need to get to work on being the love of Christ in a hurting world. And I'm going to tell you, look around this room a little bit. I love it when you guys do that because you always go, oh, should we? Yes, you should. Look around the room a little bit because you've got some wonderful partners in ministry. You have got amazing partners in ministry in this community. And we are at work, and we're getting to work, and we're going to do more work because that's what we're called to do. I want to tell you a God story. I want to tell you a God story about my friend Steve Farner. In this church, your leadership is just amazing. And they've, as many church leaderships are encountering, have had some rough spots. And we all know that. And so, the decision was made. I asked them, would you stay one more year in your place as we move forward? Because I'm a one-year interim, and you're such a great team. Would you stay one more year and help this church get on a good track? And we had a little deadline, because you know we're Americans and we're human beings, we had a little deadline. And so the deadline, I had everybody's answers except Steve's. And I thought, you know, I want to see what happens here, Lord. So I shared it at his service, so this is community knowledge. The deadline was one day, and he called me the next morning. And he said, Marsh, he said, I've thought all night long about this. And he said, I think I need to stay in place. He felt a call on his life to do the work of God through this church. He felt a call. I believe that with all my heart. Each one of us has a call of some sort to serve God. Some of it's building beds for little bodies. And some of it's making really good beans and cornbread for later, because we're going to have some. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have some call that you're experiencing. I don't know what it is. I'd love to talk to you about it. I have ideas. You're going, yep, you've always got ideas. But I have learned to wait on the Lord, and I am patient. I am grateful you are here today, and I'm grateful that you'll be praying about your call. He's calling you to get to work on something. I don't know what it is, but you do. And I'd be happy to pray with you about it anytime, any place. Let's pray. Holy God, we are so grateful to have this place to come to. A safe place to come to. For we know in parts of the world that Christians who gather, that people are of faith, of any faiths, of faiths, God. People, imagine that. People that come together to honor you and worship you, and they can't feel safe. Gosh, we lift them up. We pray. You know, there's that courage piece in this scripture. There's that courage piece. Give us courage, God, to be the people you want us to be. To speak when we need to speak. To be silent when we need to be silent. To hug when we need to hug. To give when we need to give. Call us and use us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.